Well, this is the fifth Sunday that we've been in this series entitled The Blood of the Lamb. And we looked at a number of different aspects and elements concerning this precious and yet powerful teaching from God's Word. Today we're going to be talking about the cleansing of our conscience and the renewing of our mind. Now this will be kind of a summary message and I'll try to move us through it quickly. But I am praying that if you are here struggling this morning with just mental warfare, if you have trouble keeping your mind on things above, if you don't have good understanding of how you are positioned in Christ, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and how you can live from that place, then I encourage you to begin praying right now, Lord, I'm going to receive what you have for me today. I believe that what I'm going to share with you today can be life-changing. God's Word always is. I say can be because we have to appropriate it and receive it by faith. But we're going to be looking at this through some other scriptures. The other night I had a great regional prayer meeting on the way home. I'm coming through Killen. I just looked at my speed limit, and it was good. I'd gone maybe 10, 15 seconds, and there was a policeman in the middle of the four lane in the median, and he was sitting on ready. Well, the Bible says the wicked flee when no one pursues. When I saw that police officer, though I had just checked my speed, as soon as I saw him, my first reaction was began tapping the brakes. Because I knew, a lot of me knows that I'm often guilty of looking down and going too fast. My first reaction, guilt, I'm tapping the brakes. Second reaction, I look at my speedometer. Oh, whew, still good. Third reaction, looked in the rearview mirror. And here he moved out into the lane. Now, there were probably 10 or 12 of us going down through there, but I had this kind of fear move inside of me. I know I'm not speeding. But yet, I'm waiting on the blue lights. I know myself too well, and you do too. You know what I'm talking about. The wicked flee when no one pursues, and I'm not saying we're all wicked, but we all have some of Adam we still deal with, and I think that's applicable to a lot of things we go through in life. You know, it's like the disciples on the night of the Lord's Supper, he's about to be crucified the next morning. Says, one of you are going to betray me. And interestingly, Scripture says, they begin to ask him, Lord, is it me? Am I the one? Well, you would think if they were the one, they would have known it. But see, there's such a revelation in that. Those guys had been with Jesus long enough. Now, a lot they hadn't learned yet, just like we haven't. But they're getting it. They are now at the place where they realize Jesus knows their heart better than they do. They were aware they had the capacity to betray him. He had proved them wrong over and over again when they tried to argue with him. Lord, is it me? Is it me? And yet, as we move through the New Testament and we begin to understand the New Covenant, which I've taught on the last couple of Sundays, if we don't have our minds renewed and we don't understand what it means that our conscience has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we will struggle with the old nature in far more serious ways than just tapping our brakes when we see, y'all have done that, haven't you? I mean, don't look at me like that, some of you. Holy Spirit's in here now. He'll nail you. Well, enough of that. Let's jump right in the Word. Because I'm wanting to anchor what I'm going to be sharing with you in what God has already said. Okay? Ephesians 4:20. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to move into Hebrews 9. Ephesians 4:20. This is in the New Living Translation. I just love the way this reads in this particular section of Scripture. The rest of the Scriptures will be New King James Version. Ephesians 4:20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. He's already set this up. I'm stepping into the middle of a thought. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. That makes no sense if you can't throw it off, right? Which is corrupted by lust and deception. That is, our old nature is corrupted. That's the part of you that can get into sinful lust, into deception, and a thousand other things. He goes on, verse 23. Instead of that, let the Spirit, who? Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. Again, makes no sense if you couldn't put it on. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, we could count that right there just on the last thing. The Bible's telling you that your true nature is that you are righteous and you are holy. That's your new nature. That's your true nature in Christ. Is your righteous and holy. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something, and you and the Lord have to determine how difficult it is for you to do it. Say this with me. I am righteous and I am holy. Now, sometimes there can be a visceral reaction in us when we're saying that, because we know that's what the Bible says, but our own history and own experience may defy that at times. But we are called to live by faith, not our feelings. Because the enemy and our own flesh often works against us through our feelings, through our emotions. You've heard me say this so many times over the years. You are who God says you are as a believer. That's settled. He has settled who you are. Your new nature is you are righteous and you are holy. That's a state of being. And we've seen the last two Sundays, Jesus kept person, and His name is Jesus. God's righteousness to you is a gift, for He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been given righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now, He may not always be manifesting in your attitudes, in your conduct, and in your actions. But when you got born again of the Spirit, your spirit man, your spirit was born. Your soul is being renewed, and your body will one day be glorified. That who you really are, the essence of who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ, your state of being, your position is anchored and established in the covenant that God has made, the new covenant. And we have seen the last 2 weeks that I didn't get into this last week, but Paul writes in Ephesians that you were created, you were put in Christ before the foundation of the world. It was always God's plan. We've seen numbers of times the last four Sundays, Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan was always that it would be a people that He would put in His Son, Jesus Christ. It would be the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, His people. That's where redemption would be. And He would bring His Son into the earth through His chosen people, Israel. The seed of Abraham were destined to be the bearers of the Messianic seed. And when Jesus came, He was born of a Jewish mother as the only begotten Son of the living God. And salvation is between God the Father and God the Son, that agreement that the Son would come and the Holy Spirit would execute that, and He would afterwards apply it to the hearts of those who believe. I believe the Bible teaches an unlimited atonement. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. What He did on the cross was sufficient for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever been born, and those that died in the womb. Sufficient for every one of them. It becomes efficient, applied, effective in the lives of those who believe. It's available, but you access it through faith. That's the reason John so clearly writes in John chapter 3, verse 36, He who has the Son has life. He's speaking about Zoe, everlasting life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son has not life, does not have that eternal life. But the wrath of God abides on Him. You see, those who have the Son, our wrath issue with God, the judgment of our sin that we deserve from God has already been taken care of in that moment Jesus died on the cross. And out of what He did on the cross, this scripture tells us, you know, we are given a new nature, we're righteous and holy, but it also tells us that the Holy Spirit now will cause our thoughts and our attitudes to be renewed. Because we're righteous, we have to learn to think righteously. We have to learn to think and process our thoughts and make our decisions based on who we are in Christ. All right, I got to move on through the scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. This is how it operated in the Old Testament. Just to purify the outward man, so to speak. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, say eternal Spirit. You see, Jesus offered Himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. He's that spotless lamb, so to speak. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see here that the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. That's that internal moral barometer, if you will, that God has put in humans, that innate sense of right and wrong. It means that we have knowledge. We are with knowledge. That's the reason that our conscience can pang us when we do something wrong, lost or saved. Now, a person can continue in sin so deeply and rebellion so long, their conscience can become seared. People's conscience can become seared through deception, lies, and rebellion, and so forth. But God made human beings in the moment that Adam sinned. Adam and Eve, prior to that moment in Genesis 3, knew only goodness. They knew good personally because God was good. They were perfect. But the moment they sinned, conscience then became aware of personal evil. The guilt and shame of having personally embraced and been involved in that which is evil or ungodly, not good. And that shifted everything because in Adam we all die. And so we all have an evil conscience, an awareness of what evil is. And the propensity to engage in it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want you to see that the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Everything to do with evil and death is separation from God, distance from God. Because when Adam sinned, what was their first course of action? Run from God. Hide from God. Try to cover themselves because they became aware they were naked. So the wicked flee when no one pursues. I mean, Adam, as soon as he sinned, he felt guilty. You know what that is? That's that evil conscience. That sense of knowing Judgment's coming after me now. I deserve judgment. I deserve punishment. That's innate. Innate. And that happened because of Adam's transgression. And we carry that. But the blood of Jesus changes that for us. Don't you get tired of feeling bad? I mean, again, that hamster wheel of getting in there and repenting. How many of us have repented of the same thing over and over and over and over again? Even before we do it again. We just repent, 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 repent. It's like that Old Testament, because the law makes us aware of sin. We saw this last week. And that's the Old Testament system. Well, there has to be the shedding of blood, so you bring a sacrifice. And they had to do that annually. And the priest had to do it for himself. But Jesus, our great high priest, never sinned. He did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself. So he bore our sin and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. And then we get his righteousness. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. But see, when we get saved, something about our conscience changes when we have the knowledge of what Christ has done. If we jump into Hebrews chapter 10, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very thing, not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they, now hold on, for then they would not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers, get this, for the worshipers once purified, if it really made them perfect, if it really made them holy, if it really made them pure, it says, for the offerings once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. That's so powerful. He's saying the Old Testament, it didn't work because they still had a consciousness. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. They were constantly reminded that they were sinners, that they had sinned, that blood had to be offered, that they had to come before God. They were constantly having to do that. But what he's saying, if the sacrifice had been sufficient to purify, there would have been no more consciousness of sin. Sometimes when we're always looking for the sin in everybody's life and pointing that out, and we're quick to catch the sin, sometimes we're operating in that old way. Because the Bible says when God looks at you now as a believer, He sees Jesus' righteousness, not your sin. We saw that in Hebrews. He chose, your sins I will remember no more. So when does He remember them? If He's not remembering them, why would He be reminding you of them? And yet we can be tormented for years knowing we have confessed Christ. But we still feel the shame. We still feel guilty. And I'm just saying we need to anchor ourselves in our new covenant. Understand the power of the blood of the Lamb, because His sacrifice, He said, for by one sacrifice He's perfected forever those who are sanctified. Look at verse 12. But this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice, how many? For what? Sins. Sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:1. For how long? Forever. That's how sufficient His sacrifice is. He sat down at the right hand of God. That means Father received the sacrifice. I mean, Jesus is seated by the right hand of God the Father. Where are you seated, Christian? You're seated with Christ at the right hand of God. It goes on to say, from that time waiting till His enemies are made His footstool. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You've been made holy by the blood of Jesus, set apart. But wait a minute, I still commit sin. I still do things wrong. I still have a bad attitude. Sometimes I, yes, that's true. But positionally, legally, biblically, before God, the perfections of Jesus Christ have been put in your account. You have been adopted into God's family. And when those old man behaviors rise up, here's what happens. The enemy begins to torment you, so you're really not saved. If you believe what the Bible says, you wouldn't be doing that. He wants you to get in agreement with that. Because here's what happens. Is yes, you're saved, but you're still being conformed into the image of Christ. You're in Christ, and Christ is in you. You are complete in Christ, but here on this side, as you live your life, you're not yet completely like Christ. We're still dying to stuff. I mean, isn't it true that after you get saved, maybe 5 years later, 10 years later, 15 years later, the Lord puts His finger on something that's been there the whole time, but He just hadn't gotten to that yet. Why? Because He's a good Father, and He's mentoring you, He's disciplining you. And the Bible says it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, two verses later, that whom the Father loves, He disciplines. Well, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm saying this. When you got saved, listen, when you got saved, you don't have to worry about the judgment and wrath of God for sin. But because God's a good Father, the way He deals with sin in the life of His children, whom the Father loves, He chastens. And that's another message, but God has a way to begin to discipline us, and if that doesn't work, He takes it up. And He'll do that. And if that doesn't work, isn't that the way it worked in your house when you grew up? Of course, sometimes I had an aunt or two. I mean, back when I grew up down here, you know, like give you a little mercy to work you. No, they start up here. They like, but you got the message. But see, whom the Father loves, He disciplines. Well, doesn't the Holy Spirit convict you of sin? Yes, He does. But He does not condemn you. When you are convicted, you are drawn to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I did this, and I thank You for the power of Jesus' blood that cleanses me from this, Father. I wasn't living up to my true namesake. And then you just get busy obeying and doing what you're supposed to do. But when you're in condemnation, the enemy comes, you do the Adam thing. Oh no, I've done something wrong. And we distance ourselves from the Lord. And we do things like, well, I hadn't got victory over this. I'm not going back to church. And we feel uneasy around other believers. A lot of that's because of a religious spirit of everybody wanting to point out your flaws, faults, and failures. Holy Spirit can do a pretty good job of that. And Jesus tells us that we can do that. We can help remove a tiny speck out of somebody's eye as long as we've got the foam pole out of ours. You know, he's pretty clear about that. Yes, we want to help each other, provoke one another to good works. And yes, confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. Sometimes rebuke and correct. All that's biblical. All that's in order. But condemning and making people feel like you need to be punished before things can be right with God, that is not biblical. Because Jesus, by one offering, was eternally punished. He took the eternal punishment that I deserve and you deserve as believers and bore it in His body on the tree. So we have to discern, am I being condemned here? Do I want to distance myself from God's people and from the Lord? Am I feeling shameful? Am I feeling dirty? Am I feeling like, well, I got to get things in order before I can get back right with God? No, you get back right with God and things are in order. One's a works-based way of thinking. It's based on a sin-based conscience. The other has been liberated by the power of Jesus' blood and based on righteousness. We have 4 children, 9 grandchildren. If one of my children does something wrong, there's still a Lawrence. You know, and who's responsible to deal with them? We are. And now they've got children, they're having to do that. That's better. But you see what I'm saying? It's in the family. And we're adopted into God's family. And He's a good daddy. Well, I believe in that grace message too. I don't have to worry about sin anymore. I can just sin and do what I want to. You need to talk to daddy about that. He'll whip your tail. Get you straightened out. And it'll hurt good. And you'll thank Him for it. You know, growing up, it took me about 18 years to get where I could thank my daddy and my mama for my spankings, right? You don't understand it in the moment, but later you realize they really were loving me. Well, most of the time. This is so powerful. He's perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Look at this scripture. Well, I want you to look at it. Put it on the next scripture for me, the one after Hebrews 10:12. My clicker is... Okay, there it is. Now my clicker is working again. Thank you. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, and I'm jumping forward in the thought of the writer of Hebrews. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Let's stop there. We're to have confidence and boldness to go before the Lord. My grandkids will just run up to me anywhere, everywhere. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. You know, they're Poppy. You know? We don't want to parent in such a way that our children don't want to come around us. We want to discipline in such a way that they understand that we're doing what's best for them. As best as they can understand, but not in anger. The difference between punishing and correcting and discipline, and a lot of that, the difference has to do with what's in our heart and what we're helping them to understand in their hearts. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way by which He consecrated for us through the veil. What's the veil? That is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, His name's Jesus, by the way, verse 22, let us draw near. See, there's the heart of the child of God. We're wanting to draw near to God. Not Adam hiding, distancing. The Lord Father wants you to know you belong to Him. You know what the Scripture says? The Holy Spirit bears witness that you're a child of God. That means God wants you to know you belong to Him. Here we're seeing God wants you to know, your Heavenly Father wants you to know, He wants you to draw near to Him. Yeah, but if you only knew what I've done. Well, He does. I mean, think about it. He knows. And He's the one that's saying this. Draw near. The devil doesn't want you to know how much your Father God loves you. Your flesh doesn't want you to get this because then it can't get what it wants. And it's so important that we understand that. And notice what he says here. Let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's the picture of the sprinkling of the blood of an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's, again, all the stuff being washed away. That can have several inferences. From the washing of the water of the Word, to baptism, to a picture of ceremonial cleansing in the Old Covenant. But now, there's a pure water. So it's important for us to understand this, our conscience. We don't have to live with this sin-based consciousness. We're to live with a righteousness-based conscience. Because Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. You are who He says you are. And it's so important. The enemy is going to work overtime to keep you from receiving this, but you need to rest in the fact that you have been made righteous. Well, okay, if I just accept that I'm righteous, does that mean the devil will leave me alone? No. Say, I'm not telling you if you'll get this right that all of a sudden the enemy will leave you alone. Jesus had it all together, perfect, and the devil still came and tempted Him. I am not saying He will quit trying to torment you or tempt you, But what I am saying, if you get this right, when he does it, he will quit succeeding. He may not quit tempting you, but he will quit having success doing it. Why? Because all of a sudden now, you're realizing, wait a minute. You're telling me I'm somebody that I'm, the Bible tells me I'm no longer that person. That's the old man. You need to go to the graveyard if you're going to talk to him. Might be the reason demons like to hang out around the graveyard, right? But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Three quick things here. Number one, I want to make three statements. Help me back there one more time, please. Three statements to consider. The first one is, you must have your conscience cleansed. And we've seen right here, Jesus has done that. Well, why am I still struggling with mine? You need to rest in that by faith today. Things in the realm of the Spirit, the spiritual truths in the Bible, they work and operate by faith. You can trust your feelings, or you can put your faith in God's Word. You can live in your past and who you once were, because you're well familiar with that, and familiar spirits will be there to help remind you. Or you can say, this is what the Bible says, I am now a new person in Christ Jesus. You see, the moment you got saved, how did it work? You heard the truth in the gospel message, how Christ died, was buried, and raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures on the third day, right? You heard that. And when you heard it, you believed, right? When you placed your faith in the truth you heard, what happened? The promise that was in that Word was appropriated into your life. And you became aware in that moment, oh my goodness, this is what that's like. This is what peace is like. You no longer feel that shame, that guilt. You remember when you got saved? You knew you got saved. And you got saved because you believed. That's the way this works. By faith. You rest in what God's Word says. That's how you get healing. This is what God's Word says. Well, I feel like I'm sick. And the fact is, I am sick. But the truth is, He has healed me through His suffering, through His stripes. And our faith is necessary so often for us to see breakthrough. And it's the same way here with deliverance. And that's the way, how do you get the fruit of the Spirit in your life? By reading, hearing, reading the Word of God, receiving it in your heart, believing it, and acting on it, obeying it. And then the fruit begins to manifest. So if you believe that the perfections of Christ now have been granted to you, that you have been made righteous and holy, and you get your mind renewed, which will be the second. Go ahead and put that up there. The second one is your mind must be renewed. We saw in Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit will help us do this. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, dokimazo is the Greek word, put to the test and find it to be true, God's will for your life. This is how we live the Christian life. Reading what the book says, receiving it into our heart by faith, and acting on it, and then we will see the fruit of that word. Sometimes immediately, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's over a course of time. We begin to see certain fruit that we never had in our life. Maybe you've always been given to quick temper. I mean, your temper could go from 0 to 60 in a half second. And maybe you struggle with that. But by applying God's truth and God's Word, well, I'm a new nature. I have a new nature. Jesus wasn't that way. He wasn't that way, so I'm not that way. You'll start finding now your faith in your old nature is diminishing, because that's how your old man energizes you. That's how you get him back out of the grave. You energize him by believing in his power over you. The way you walk in resurrection power is believing Jesus rose from the dead, and the same Spirit that rose him, brought him up from the dead, lives mightily in you. You can overcome that now. And you accept that's who I am. And it'll be tested. And you might not make an A+ on that first test. But you might not flunk that time. You make a C. And the next time you make a B. And before you know it, you got a good report card when it comes to your quick temper. Why? You're being transformed. Why? By the renewing of your mind. How? By the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and using your faith to make application. And it releases the grace of God into your life that enables you to do the will of God. Not of works. Hadn't got anything to do with works. It's about you believing what God says. Your children came to you. Am I really yours? How'd that make you feel? Or like, you can say, no, here's the birth certificate. Here's our names. This is the witness. By the way, your mom was there. I mean, don't you want your kids to know who they belong to? What about your Heavenly Father? He wants you to know who you belong to. He wants you to get your mind clear that you are His and that you've been made righteous. And get out from that way of old man thinking that's steeped in sin consciousness. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, draw you to the Lord so that Father can help you with that, so that you can overcome it, and then you look more like Jesus, because whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His own dear Son. That's God's plan for all of our lives, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the reason Paul said in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the world's mode. Don't get into agreement with what the world says about you. Don't get into agreement with how the world says you should live your life. Don't get into agreement with how the world says you should raise your kids. Don't get into agreement about what the world is saying concerning identity. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Get in agreement with the Word, and that brings transformation. The devil has stole this, and getting his Word out there. How do you know you're a man? You might be a woman, trapped in a man's body. And if he can get people into agreement with that and put their faith in that, the next thing they know, they're going to start adjusting the way they think, the way they perceive, the way they decide things to line up with that. And it's a lie. Truth will set you free. A lie will just bring you into bondage. And there's a lot of that insane kind of stuff happening, and it's because the devil has hijacked God's way of doing things, perverted it, polluted it, and using it for his kingdom. And what is needed more than anything else is a grounding in the teaching of God's Word. Listen to me, daddies, mamas, grandmamas, granddaddies. There is no greater thing than we can do for our family, for our children and grandchildren, than to make sure they know the Word of God. It's settled forever in the heavens. It's been registered, trademarked, and patented. And God will honor it for all eternity. It will work. It'll get you into the eternal realm to live with your Heavenly Father eternally. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your conscience must be cleansed, and it can only be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Believe that. Your mind must be renewed. Don't let it... See, some people think their minds are being renewed when actually they're being deceived. They're thinking new ways. But it's deception. It's got to square with the Word of God. And lastly, your confidence must be in Christ. You can't put confidence in yourself. We have to rewire our wit. Retrain our brain. Renew our minds by the Word of God under the tutelage of the Spirit of God, our teacher. 1 John chapter 2. And this works. That's how we become discerning, and we can recognize some of the scams the enemy tries to use on us. He's a master scammer. He starts sending us bills. It's like you get a reminder in the mail to pay a bill and you know you've already paid it. You ever been in one of that? I've already paid this. Well, it says, no, you haven't. I got the bank statement here showing where the money was taken out of my account, this has been paid. No, it hasn't. And that's a mess. But the enemy wants us to do that. He wants you to keep paying over and over and over again for something that's already been paid. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Your good works is never going to make up for your bad works. You can't live your life looking in the rearview mirror. Don't, get rid of all your fishing expeditions, your dredging expeditions, and settle it. Jesus' blood has taken care of my past. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I can live my life from a righteous-based position. That is my standing before God. And if God says I'm all right, it really doesn't matter what someone else may say. Especially some... Yeah. In a moment, we're going to be doing communion together. I'm going to pick back up on some of this later on. I don't know when. But we're going to be doing communion now in just a moment. And this is going to be our response to the Word this morning. Your confidence must be in Christ. And I want to read this scripture for you. Here it is. One more time, I want to read this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put on your true nature, your new nature, which is your true nature as a believer, which is righteous and holy. It's like of Christ Jesus. This is who I really am. We receive that. Stand on it. Rest in it by faith. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Are you willing this morning to put the fullness of your faith in His finished work? This is the gospel. Jesus paid it all. He didn't start peddling, and you've got to peddle the rest of the way. He didn't pay for some of it, but you've got to make up the difference. Jesus paid it all. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. This may not be everyone in the room, but I'm fairly confident there's several in the room. There's that one thing, that one event, that one moment, we might even say that one sin, that it seems the devil just torments you with over and over and over. I'm not asking you to dredge that up. It's already there if that's you. I'm asking you to look at that scripture again, for by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are sanctified. That scripture that says your new nature is you are righteous and holy. Are you going to believe what the enemy or your flesh or those old memories are telling you? Or are you going to believe what God's Word is telling you this morning? Leave it at the cross. That's where it's settled. It's been nailed to the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished. Paid in full." Don't magnify your sin any longer. Magnify your Savior. This is the place of victory as you magnify Him. His grace is greater than all your sin. If you would now, if you would open your eyes and stand with me. Before we take communion, I want us to confess this together as believers here this morning. And by the way, if there's someone here, if you haven't been served, hold up your hand quickly and we'll make sure the elements are given you. If somebody, anybody needs to be served, just hold your hand up. Thank you. We have a few folks here. Moment, we're going to eat the bread together. We're going to drink from the cup together. We're going to show forth the Lord's death till He comes. But we want to confess this together as His body. Confess it with me. We confess and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. Bow your heads for a moment and thank God for those truths. This is the gospel. While your heads are bowed, take a moment and thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He bore your sins in His body on the tree. And it was sufficient to make you righteous, to make you holy. And if anything is hindering your fellowship with the Lord as a child of God, confess that to Him. Just like we would in our human family. When we do something we shouldn't towards the other, we ask for forgiveness. Knowing that we're forgiven, but we just want to make things right. We want to have the fellowship in the right place. I encourage you this morning, as we partake of communion, wherever the battle line has been drawn for you, if it's mental warfare, if you've been tormented by thoughts, some kind of harassment, or your warfare is along the line of sickness or physical things, wherever it is, place your faith in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Believe in the power of His blood, that as you by faith honor Him by eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood spiritually, as you do that, believe in the power of His all-sufficient sacrifice. Believe in that. And receive the grace that God wants to give you in this act of faith. I encourage you really connect with the Lord as we do this. We're doing it in honor of Him. We're remembering Him. Mickey's going to pray over the bread.
Lord Jesus, as we hold this bread in our hand, how we thank You that You willingly gave Your body to be broken for us. That You took our brokenness, our sin, our sickness into Your own body, Your own perfect body, Lord, and paid for those things. Lord, as we take this bread, we remember Your sacrifice and we honor You. Would You take the bread together?
confess this out loud with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your perfect body. Now, would you hold forth the cup? Would you confess this? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your redemptive blood shed for me. Father, we do thank you so much for the power of the blood of your Son, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, thank you for bearing our sins in your body on the tree. Blessed Lord Jesus, we remember how you suffered, were tortured, executed in our place. We deserved what you bore for us. You bore God's wrath. You bore our sins. You went through the waters of judgment and became our ark of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood. Would you drink the cup with me in Jesus' name? Now in the name of Jesus, I pray any barrier, any hindrance that would keep you from having a righteous consciousness, that would keep you from having a renewed mind, join me in faith right now. We come against that in the name of Jesus and hold up the cross, His body, His blood. We hold that up against every hindrance and we say, be gone. We declare its power is being broken right now in Jesus' name. Just receive that by faith. Declare this with me. We have the mind of Christ. We are righteous. We are holy. Because God says so. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you just begin to thank the Lord? As our prayer team members come forward, just begin to thank the Lord. Begin to praise Him. They're going to be here. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. I strongly encourage you to seal by faith what we've just done and believe God's honoring that. We're going to have people up here to pray with you. Maybe you're needing hands laid on you for healing. While it could be that you're here and you want to be saved. You want to become a Christian. I encourage you to come this morning. If you need someone to pray with you about that and you need to go, put that on your card so we'll know. We'll get in touch with you. But here these are, ready to pray the prayer of faith with you, whatever your need may be. Maybe you need to come and pray on behalf of someone else. We just encourage you to come this morning. Let the Spirit of God minister God's grace to you. Step out from where you are. Come forward. Are there others? Just come on up right now. I'm going to be releasing you to go in just a moment, but just step out from where you are. Come on up the front if you're needing prayer. Thank you. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. May His Spirit and His Word, as you believe, renew your minds to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. May His angels encompass you about, protect you. May the gifts of the Spirit be stirred up within you, and may you flow in the Spirit. May your light shine. May your faith manifest. May you see answers to prayer. May your physical health be blessed this morning by the blood of the Lamb. May your finances be blessed by your Heavenly Father, who provides all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. May you be protected from all forms of evil. I plead the covenant blood of Jesus over your life. Now, I remind you, you are champions in Christ. You are overcomers. Go forth and change the world in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for being here today. This altar remains open. Come and receive ministry if you need ministry. Linger as long as you like. Leave when you like. God bless you. Have an awesome day in Jesus.